So I've got two slides here. I know your stomach's probably rumbling. I want to quickly look at what we said last year, and then I want to very briefly look at the year ahead. And it's not a great big long pitch, because we talk about these things through our vision and other things as we go on. Do you remember that I had a dream last year, and I told you about it? And there were a number of things that I mentioned that I was dreaming about. And I put that up there because, actually, as I look back over the past year, it's been another complicated year, hasn't it, with COVID, and it's been slow getting things back off the ground. But as we come to the midpoint of 2023, I think we are encouraged that actually we're starting to see a bit more momentum, the busyness and the life of the church is getting up, and lots of new people. And, you know, my dreams were more people in Connect groups, that we were more in the community, for the community to the glory of God. All three services returning to health, and that's true. 10:30 is definitely the strongest, but the other two are growing slowly. We'll be more multiculturally diverse, which interestingly, through no action of our own, is happening. The kids and youth work, very encouraged that both the youth is growing, but also, you know, we prayed a lot about families. And there's a report that I've shared with the PCC, which is under the chairmanship of Bob Jackson, who's the church growth consultant for the diocese, written in January 2023, looking at the various trends in churches since pandemic. And there are several things, lots of things that he says. I'm happy to send it to you if you want to read it. One of the things he says is that the larger the church, the slower it's been to recover, which sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Because, you know, if you're a church of 25 people, you know everybody, you're relationally strong. But churches that are over 100 and bigger have been slower to recover. On the basis of his statistics, we're not doing too badly. No reason for complacency. But Sunday mornings are back to 90%, really, which is encouraging. Sunday evenings still have a bit of work to go. But we were praying a lot about the family's work. That, you know, at the end of last year, we weren't really seeing children back. And very pleased to say that in the first 6 months of this year, the Sunday school is thriving again. Families have returned. Don't know why they took so long to come back, but they are largely back. And let's keep praying that they would continue to come. I mean, I've alluded to the fact that we all need to serve, and been very grateful for the way that Connect groups have been serving us on a Sunday morning. I think that's been a really, really good thing, hasn't it? You know, good team spirit, lots of different people involved in serving, so that's been a good start. We want to grow the Long Cross work, still slow going. I was talking to the developer last week. They are still going through all the controversies back and forth over the final stages of planning. And they keep saying they're about to break ground, but I'm not sure it's going to happen yet. The energy of Passion for Life was great. We need to do that ongoingly and look to keep doing that. Church out there as much as in here. So some of that's still aspirational in the future, but some of it actually has been achieved in the last year, for which I'm very grateful and thankful. So the passage I would like just to briefly read, I'm not about to preach a sermon, even though I didn't preach this morning, I still won't preach a sermon. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, bear in mind that we think this is probably the very last thing that Timothy wrote, that Paul wrote to Timothy. And these are the first 7 verses of chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather round them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I fought the fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only me, but also all who long for his appearing. Now, it may be, you know, that I had a 60th birthday yesterday, and I've probably been a grumpy old man for a little while, but I probably own the title a bit more. And it's very tempting to look around the culture and despair. And there are reasons, I think, that we we should be concerned about a culture that, you know, increasingly drifts away from focusing upon God. But the challenge of this passage is, here's the aging Timothy in prison, probably under house arrest with the Roman guard. His death is imminent, and he's looking at his youngish, but not that young, prodigy Timothy, and the generations beyond him, and looking to the future, wanting himself to finish well. And I mean, I don't think I'm quite done yet, but however much my kids seem to say that I am, but I certainly personally, and I look around the room, and many of you are at least my age, if not more, apart from Matt. You know, are we gonna finish well? Are we gonna do what we can to make sure that we reach every generation, and particularly those of us who are at a point of maybe early retirement, you still got energy, are you giving some of that energy to the life of the church so that we do finish well? We are called to be in the world but not of the world, in the community for the glory of God in our strapline. And that is a challenge because, so the other reason I'm feeling a little melancholic is, you know, with the death of Tim Keller this week, somebody who many of us have benefited from enormously, fantastic books. I met him a couple of times. I also wrote a chapter on his preaching for my book on preaching. And I knew him, but he wasn't a friend, but I feel his loss, and I know many people do. And the last thing that he wrote just about 2 months ago was a very helpful article in which he talked about the erosion of the front porch. Now, he was talking in us to a Southern American context. You've seen the lovely plantation houses with these big front porches, and the people would greet their neighbors from their front porch, and they may even bring them onto their front porch for a nice tea and for a conversation, and the community would be built around front porches. Now, if you got as far as getting inside the house, that was a whole different and a new relationship. And he was making the analogy that the church is largely losing its front porch. You know, that we're finding that there are stark divisions between those who are believers and those who are not. And, you know, Christians are not necessarily received with the warmth across the culture that we might have enjoyed a few decades ago. So we do have to work hard to be in the world, as it were, not of the world, to build the front porch, those links with the culture around us. That's the battle number one. The second, and I think we feel this as a church, but I think the denomination at large does, which is that we're to be in the Word, not in the world. And, you know, we've talked already upon the things that are challenging the Church of England deeply at the moment. And I am a relatively simple soul. You know, we're an evangelical church. That means that we believe in the evangel, the good news of the gospel, that as we read it in this library of 66 books. And that what we seek to model in our ministry here is that we sit under the authority of the Word of God. That should guide and direct us. And until I'm persuaded by the Word of God to move differently, I must stick by what I've received from Scripture, as Paul tells Timothy. And simply put, it seems to me that the pressure on the Church of England is the dominant voice going to be the world around us, or is the dominant voice going to be the Word? How much time do I spend listening to the Word versus listening to the world? It's simplistic, but to me, that's where the battle line is drawn for the church. You know, are we going to stick by what God has said in His Word? And that means actually not only teaching and training one another, which we need to do lots of, but also recruiting to battle a new generation of men, women, children for him. I'm very thankful that every year since I've been here, and every year many years before I arrived, we sent somebody off to Bible college or theological college for training. And I want that flow to keep going, you know, that we keep doing that. But also that we recruit one another for ministry in this world as well. And we are preparing for an end game, as it were. We do live in the last days, the end times, because actually they've been going on since Jesus ascended into heaven, which we celebrated last Thursday, and until he comes back. And Paul had this urgency that the church would be living expectant that Jesus is going to come back any day. And I do believe we need to live with that energy. And to that extent, we are living the dream. You know, because we do know the end of the story. We do know that our King is coming back. And I, speaking for myself, and I hope I speak for you as well, we want to make sure we're about our Master's business when he returns, and he finds us not sleeping, but active in the work of the kingdom. And so really my challenge to you as we go into 2023 and onwards is, you know, are you fit for this fight? Are you up for it? Because the division between those who are the Lord's and those who are not is kind of getting bigger in our world. And I don't think we should be surprised by that. That was the context that most of the New Testament was written in. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter in the autumn, and Andrew Satch will be speaking about living in a hostile and uncertain world. We need to equip ourselves to be ready for action in a culture that doesn't know the Lord and is far away from him and doesn't really understand what it is that believers are all about. Remarkably ignorant. And we've got a job on our hands to try and reach the lost, and that's what we want to be, in the community, for the community, to the glory of God. I told you I wouldn't preach, but I'm very sorry about it. Can't help myself. So I don't have like 10 vision points for you particularly, because I still stand by our vision that we're only a third of the way through for the next 7 years, and next 7 years beyond now. But I do want to encourage you to go away with this one thought, that you'll hear increasingly from me that the charge to be Christ's in a needy and a dark world, to be faithful to him through adhering to his word, and to be filled with the Spirit so that we might make a difference for his glory in this world ahead. Are you up for that? Amen. Okay. So thank you very much, everyone, for your patience and for giving up your time. I do hope that your roast is not too dry if it's sitting there on auto cook in the oven. But can I just pray for us as we go back out into this week? Father God, we're very thankful that you've been good to us as a church. We know we've got challenges, but you know, we've got people here who love you. We've got families who want to come. We've got a staff team. We've got a good building. And we've got largely healthy finances. And we know, Lord, there's lots to do. But we do want to pause and say thank you. And also, Lord, we want to look to you to provide what we need to be your faithful soldiers and servants in this world and the next year and beyond. Do pray, Lord, that we would shine brightly for Jesus, that we'd be able to tell the world that you love us so much that Jesus came into the world to die for our sins so that we might be forgiven. Put that message on our lips, Lord, in a way that will open doors and enable people to hear the good news they so desperately hear. And Lord, as we pray for a revival in these coming weeks, we pray that you would start with us and it would spill out into our community and beyond so that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.